Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to my podcast, Little Mind Chats. Minds are little, not our thoughts. I'm your host, Siona Vikram. It's June 5th already? That's like mid-year. Today's certainly a very special day. It's the World Environment Day. What makes this year more special is the theme is Solutions Against Plastic Pollution, which is exactly what Little Wise Club, my sustainability club, is working very hard for. There's something else that's even more exciting and special. We have with us Mrs. Vani Murthy, the walking, talking practitioner of sustainable non-plastic living. Hi, ma'am.
Hello, Sienna.
It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So the big question that I've really been wanting to ask you is, what got you into the world of sustainability and waste management?
Oh, this was a long time back. I have been a homemaker, never did much outside my home. There came a time when my kids grew up and I was looking to explore some things. And then I started, going out and meeting people and who were doing a lot of work around my area, around the environment and, you know, the roads and the street lights and the pavements. So I thought there's something that I could contribute, and I started taking part in their projects. And then we slowly, I met Dr. Meenakshi. She's like one of the largest campaigners in Bangalore and India. And I met her way back in 2006 or 7. And we did projects together, and we both became passionate about how we can spread the word. And slowly a team grew in Bangalore called the Solid Waste Management Roundtable. And I think a visit to the landfill actually sealed the deal for me, because that's when I understood and learned and saw in person what a mess we, you know, human beings create to the environment.
Yes. I mean, I would love to visit the landfill someday. I really think that would transform me, because I've only seen landfills in photos and documentaries, but then I've never actually seen one in person. Well, I'm yet to. Mm. And I think the way you're describing it, it would be a totally different experience.
Absolutely. At least we weren't that aware of what we see today. There is so much of social media. There's so much of information that we can collect. And people are already doing a lot of things. Even if you haven't visited a landfill, you are doing a lot of things, because you're aware, you're educating yourself on the, you know, problems that we humans create, you know, with plastic. So I think, we tell many people, just go and visit, you know, and you will make, you will see the difference. The kind of pollution that happens there is to be seen.
Well, I, since this year's theme for Environment Day is solutions for plastic pollution, what are your thoughts on the current situation of plastic pollution?
Well, we can never get away from plastics, because plastics are everywhere. There are plastics that you can see, and there are plastics that you can't see. You know, what you can see is actual plastic. You can touch it, feel it. But if I say there are clothes that have plastic, you know, the fast fashion, the clothes that are using a lot of rayon and kind of polymers and all that, they have hidden plastic in them. They become microplastics as you wash those clothes. And ultimately, it ends up somewhere. So, and of course, a tea bag. If I say the bags that come, the tea bag, they have plastic. You know, everywhere you see so many things that you see diapers and the sanitary pads, they have plastic in them. So what you don't even imagine has plastic in them. So it is a huge issue. And the more and more that we start being aware and take action, because action time, this is, we all hear about the climate change and how, you know, pollution is creating these greenhouse gases and how we're destroying the ecosystem in our planet, on the planet. This is a very vibrant and robust, thriving ecosystem that gets polluted because of us, the way we use plastic. So I think we just have to continue creating awareness, which is the most important thing. And for that, I really am so proud that you're doing such an amazing job, Sienna.
Thank you. Well, as you said, like, plastic is everywhere, but then I actually did not realize that it was in something that you put in hot water, a tea bag. I mean, now that would discourage every parent or adult listening to this podcast today to stop drinking tea off the boundaries.
I mean, tea bags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, everyone knows plastic is polluting, like you mentioned, but it feels like there is no substitute for the numerous plastic things we use in our daily lives. So what is your take on it?
Oh, well, there were no substitutes, when the plastic was very limited. Today it's everywhere. But when you go a couple of generations back, the alternatives were right there, what we were using. You know, today we have replaced things that were originally eco-friendly stuff that we were using then. We have replaced it with plastic. Now, to replace plastic with something eco-friendly, you just have to go back a couple of generations to see how your grandparents lived. You know, that itself will give you all the directions on how to stay earth-friendly, how to be more mindful, how to be minimalist, how not to buy things which we don't need. You know, you go back to a very mindful kind of living, because today's lifestyle is the problem. It is a lifestyle of use and throw. We don't use things, or we don't buy things that last for a long time. It's very temporary. You know, you use them for such a short while and we discard them. And nothing lasts for long now. Before, if there was a dress, once you would wear it till it fades and tears, and then you convert the pieces of the dress into a bag or a pillow cover or a cushion cover, something, because we would always repair, reuse, recycle, you know, upcycle. So that was the traditional way how we humans lived, you know. We valued everything. But today's world lifestyle is where you are discarding more things, you know, than using them, you know, using them very for a very short time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, I think that's where Indians get their culture of not exactly throwing something away immediately after it's used. So we can definitely switch those things. But then with all these new trends coming up, like electronic toys, flashy new pencil cases, and all of that, it's almost hard. It's almost extremely hard to replicate the same in wood or some other sort of thing that used to be in use in the ancient times.
Yeah, because alternatives are looking at, when you look at sustainability, it is about there is this amount of resource available on this planet, and we extract these resources to make stuff, and then we use them, and then after use, what happens to it? You know, just being mindful of a resource that shouldn't get wasted very quickly, because it's not infinite. You know, we need to run it to many more generations that are coming ahead of us. We can't just keep consuming all the time. So the whole thing is about mindfulness, and then you will find alternatives. But we have to be extremely careful of the greenwashing that happens in the name of alternatives. You know, that's again another big problem. So it may not be a good alternative if they say carry bags, plastic carry bags. You know, you need to get an alternate. An alternative is just a cloth bag that you carry wherever you go to pick. You cannot accept a bag that looks like cloth from the market, but it would be polypropylene non-woven bag, which is like very soft, and it would look like it's a greenwashing that happens. That plastic is banned, so we are giving you this as a cloth bag. So we need to be extremely mindful of the alternatives that come, and more depend on your own intuition on refusing single use completely, because that's the first line of our action plan will be, I refuse anything that is single use, like a straw, a plastic straw. Even a paper straw I would refuse, because it's again used only once. It's not just plastic, but anything that has used resources and you have put in energy, you have added labor, there is manufacturing, then there is transportation, and it comes to you, you go to a juice shop and he gives you a paper straw in your juice, and then you drink once and you discard. So that resource is just got wasted, right? So it's best is to drink the juice without a straw, or carry your own steel straw wherever you go so that you can come back, wash it, dry it, and keep it. So those are the ways we have to look at taking the alternatives into our lives.
Yeah, I would agree on the part about the single-use disposables, especially these paper ones. They are a huge greenwash scam.
So a paper cup looks like paper is biodegradable. So people, they see, no, I don't use plastic. I use paper cup. You know, paper cups, if you put it in your compost, the paper will disintegrate. That will get digested in the compost bin. But what will be left is a thin layer of plastic in between two layers of paper. You know, paper does not hold liquid, especially hot liquid. People drink hot tea in a paper cup. It would not hold if it's just paper. So there is a thin layer of plastic in between. And that's what gets left. And it cannot be even recycled, you know, a paper cup. So it's important for us to be very mindful of single-use disposable. That is, used once and throw. Single-use throwaways.
So when I visited your home, I learned the astonishing fact that almost 60% of every household waste is wet waste. So I've watched many brilliant ways of composting. Many have a question if it is okay to compost in plastic bins.
Well, yes, there is no problem in composting plastic bins, because these plastic bins are high grade. They are very strong plastic that will last for a long time. It's not a cheap or recycled plastic. They are manufactured from good plastic, which is supposed to last for a long time. And I started using terracotta pots, you know, and these pots, when I have to shift them, as I grew old, I couldn't handle the weight of the terracotta, because along with the compost and the terracotta, it becomes very heavy for me to shift the pots around. And so I moved to plastic. And of course, I was experimenting with lot of different varieties of compost solutions. You know, these bins, these compost containers, and the easiest and the cheapest could be your plastic ones. And since they last a long time, you shouldn't concentrate on the plastic that we're using in the in that bin. You know, we should more worry about the diapers that have so much of plastic, you know, the sanitary pads that have so much plastic, the fast fashion that has so much of plastic, and everyday use, everyday throw away plastic. So that's what we need to be extremely mindful of. You know, when we go out, we can carry our own dabbas to bring back. You know, there's so much packaging in plastic which gets discarded. When we buy stuff, we make sure that, you know, we have the minimum amount of packaging. Going to a supermarket, you pull out everything that you pull is packaged in plastic. So if you want to get more mindful as you go in this journey, you start looking at, can I go to a store, you know, which would give me without the packaging? Can I take my dabba and buy something? And can I buy my biscuits in a bakery? I take my little box and get the biscuits from the bakery. So I'm avoiding that biscuit packet, which has so much of plastic wrapping. So we should worry about these things that every day that we, and not something that I would install that would last me for many, many years. That I shouldn't be worried about.
That is really, really true. Children are a crucial link to plugging this plastic waste problem. Given that they follow their parents' lead, how can we get the parents to change their habits first?
It's definitely awareness in education. Because today is a very fast-paced life. Parents are both working. They have to manage families. They have to cook clean. They have to manage kids. And the transport, the kind of pollution, everything gets to you. It is very difficult for, parents to concentrate on something that is not convenient right now. So convenience is very important for them. So anything that's quick and convenient, it becomes a lifestyle for them. So if they want to have a better impact on their children, get them to think about things. They also need somewhere, they need a trigger, probably, to start looking at that. And a lot of people will be on the, you know, they'll be sensitive, they'll know about it, but they don't take action. But then it's slow and steady, one step at a time. I think everybody can change and make a difference, not just to their own children, but also to the ecosystem that we live in. You know, that ecosystem is so precious that we need to conserve, preserve, and, you know, nurture it.
I really hope that maybe one day the boards, the education boards of India, finally decide that it's high time that they teach children about the environmental pollution, because to be honest, that is more important than what the Magadha Empire did some hundreds of years ago.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, knowing that is not going to help you in any way. But if you know what soil is all about, where your food comes from, how your rivers should be, how your air quality should be, you know, what makes it bad, you know, what we breathe, what we eat, you know, what we drink. Mm-hmm. Those are most important. And how can we contribute to a better river, you know, a better air? So I think that education could be amazing. How can you grow your own food? You know, just two plants, a tomato and probably some other vegetable or some greens, and understand how food is grown in healthy soil, a living soil. You understand and you connect to nature. The whole thing is that children are so disconnected. And if education system brings something that, you know, lets them experience, touch soil, you know, make that compost and know that the compost that they're holding is full of life. It's full of millions and billions of microorganisms. Mm-hmm. And that is what life is all about. You know, that's what earth is all about. That's what the ecosystem is all about. And soil has to be that living soil. So if these are taught, if children are taught how to make a little garden, grow food, experiment with food, you know, and then cook something from that food. So you're giving them life skills for life. I mean, that teaching would never, ever go away from you, because you imbibe it, because you're excited, it's something new, you're doing it hands-on, you know, you're not reading from a textbook. I think that would make a huge difference. So like you said, education, you know, at a very, very, you know, young age should be something that is giving you life skills and teaching you something about our beautiful planet and its ecosystem.
Yes, I mean, what's in textbooks today is only reduce, reuse, recycle. There's garbage at your home. You're supposed to segregate your waste. There's something called a landfill and it's full of waste. I mean, we have been learning the same thing for almost, I don't know since when. And there has been almost zero to no update in this education system. And also, some kids even think it's dirty or taboo to get mud even on their shoes. I mean, their shoes,
exactly.
They're supposed to get dirty. And another thing is, it's like showing kids, they show us documentaries, but they never take us out to experience on our own. Like, for example, like you said, the landfill scenario, like all of us have seen it in pictures and documentaries and movies, but the real experience is what transforms us, right?
So I think practical experience is what teaches you. When I composted for the first time, I failed. If I'd just given up, I would never have learned composting. It is about experiencing and experimenting, because that's what excites everybody. You know, even today, if I take my kitchen peels to my, you know, compost bin and open the compost bin, I have the same excitement knowing that this is not going out of my house to pollute the environment, but it is going into my compost bin to create that, you know, amazing life in that compost, feeding the millions of microorganisms, and that converting into this black gold, which is like the most amazing thing that you can put into the soil to grow your food. So you learn how you can complete a life cycle within your home, and you know, be safe, understand how life thrives, what makes life thrive, because even today with young kids eating so much of processed food, it's not going to give any nutrition to you. The nutrition comes from the soil and real food, you know, whole food. Mm-hmm. It's not about the processed food that just takes away all the nutrients and it's just sugar and, you know, other things which makes it tasty, yeah, and you get addicted and you want to eat more and more of that. So there are so many things that we can learn in this life journey, where we, you know, we just start looking at creating a world around us, in our homes and around our homes, that is sustainable, and that, you know, let us live healthier. You know, that's very important. Our immune system comes when we touch soil. You know, there's soil microorganisms, there's gut microorganisms. Both are related. The more we keep ourselves distanced and cut off from nature, the more we are going to be unhealthy, and our health will depend on the health industry, which is pharmaceuticals, which is medicines, doctors, and all that. Same thing if you lived on a farm, if you were with the cattle, with the soil, you know, you were going around, there are bugs and other things in an ecosystem that you become a part of, you will be the most healthiest. You know,
yes,
and in city life, we don't have that, but you can create in your own little balcony, probably on your terrace. Maybe there's an empty site next to your home. You know, just go dig it up, start composting and putting your compost, create a lovely soil, sow some seeds, let something grow. I think, you know, those things should excite you as your own projects. You don't have to depend on a school or, you know, somebody to tell you to do it. It could be just your personal project that you want to do, and you see life coming out. If one, you know, tomato, the bud comes and you're excited, next the fruit will come and the fruit will grow, green tomato will become red and it'll be ripe and you pluck it and you eat it. So it is something that you will just feel so good about, you know. And being a part of nature keeps you very calm. You know, the more you are addicted to screens and doing things that, you know, the usual things that children do today, it just keeps you away from nature, and it's very stressful. You know, there are a lot of problems that it creates.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would totally agree. Also, there's also some research done, and it turns out that the more you eat unprocessed food, the more aligned your teeth will be. So as you are aware, my Little Wise Club is targeting plastic in children's lives. So toys in particular, so what would you think the more such steps are necessary?
Absolutely. I mean, I wish everybody emulates what you're doing, because we need to create that, sensibility in parents and relatives not to buy so much. I see young children, they have a room full of toys. Everything is plastic, you know.
Yes.
And young kids bite on it. It is like they are taking in some of the toxins that, you know, makes that plastic. And so it's not very healthy, and you don't need so much toys. The thing is, children get, they are also like use and throw. They get bored by the same old toys and they keep asking for more. So it is important for the parents to be mindful on, you know, how to distract them and keep them engaged in many other ways than just give them a toy and make them play with it. And I hope, with your initiative, more and more people come forward to start a campaign about, you know, toys and how, you know, harmful they are, and especially these cheap toys that they sell on the roadside. You know, people just buy, I'm talking about the economically weaker section. They'll just go buy them and, you know, give them to the young child, and they don't even know the harm. They just look colorful. You know, the toys look colorful and pretty, and then you're introducing something that can be creating some toxins in your child's health.
Yes. I mean, even I remember those days when I was, I don't know, like 6 or 8, and I would have roomfuls of toys. And that was just like when my brother was a little kid. So even he had his toys. Oh gosh, that was more than mine, I guess. And every time we headed out to the toy store, there was always some new attractive flashy thing I had to ask for, and some new attractive flashy thing that my friends brought to school every day.
Right.
Yes.
Like from your pencil boxes, everything is plastic, yeah. You know. we are touching and handling so much of plastic. It is a huge concern, because after use, what happens to it? Does it, you know, get recycled? You know, does it end up somewhere? Does it clog some drain? Does it end up in the oceans? And everybody knows, people see documentaries where oceans are full of plastic, you know, right from your plastic bottles to toys to nets, everything ends up in the ocean. And we are doing such a huge disservice to the other species, because I have one saying that we as human beings are the only species that generate things that the earth can't digest. Every other species lives in harmony with nature. You know,
yes.
They don't generate anything the earth can't digest. So we are the ones who are harming other species by constantly polluting with plastic.
Yeah, you're so right. What is your advice to people listening to us on this World Environment Day?
Well, World Environment Day comes every year, but every day is an environment day, because every day we need each of us to take an action, and slow and steady. Start understanding, take one step at a time. You don't have to overwhelm yourself by saying, I have to do so much. No, just tomorrow when you leave home, take your bottle of water from your home. Take a steel flask or steel bottle and refill it wherever you go. Avoid buying a plastic bottle. You know, small things like that, one step at a time. Start a practice that becomes a part of you, and that will sustain you for the rest of your life. That's sustainability. That is, you take up practices that are good for your health and your planet's health and everybody's health. And that is how we need to go. Slow and steady, one step at a time. And there you are on the journey of being an eco-warrior who protects the ecosystem. You know, you're not fighting anything, but you are a protector. You are a warrior that protects. So become an eco-warrior for our planet's health and our own health.
Yes, ma'am, you're so right. Thank you so much for being on my podcast today.
Thank you, Sienna. Thank you so much for having me, and all the best and more power to your campaign.
Thank you, ma'am, and more power to you. Yeah, and we definitely need a lot more people like you to inspire us.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Before you go, meet you with another amazing personality to learn from in the next episode. Thanks a ton for listening. Bye.